You see, I truly believe that a good teacher is one who, first of all, motivates youngsters. He creates a climate in which they want to learn. And anytime you have a student who is highly motivated, who wants to learn, you do not have discipline problems with them. They don't have time to do things wrong. They're too hyped up to the point that they want to grab every word that you're saying. They want to go above and beyond what you require because they know they can. Consequently, until we begin to develop that type of attitude, the attitude of wanting kids to learn, believe that every child can learn, and that we can be the difference in whether that child learns or whether that child does not learn, whether that child succeeds in life or whether that child does not succeed in life, then until we get to that point, then we're going to have problems in school, in public school, in private schools. There's no difference. We've got to look at children in a different idea, with a different sense. We got to change our attitudes and want to make a difference in child's life. And that difference may not always be academic. It may be in whether or not that child has some of the other things that you expect to have in a child, in an adult. Promptness, integrity, and those type of things that you don't get in textbooks, but you get it from interaction between people, between teacher and student, between student and student. You know, those things are come along once that child is motivated and wants to learn. There's no limit. There's no limit to what they can do.
Or do you have certain qualities that just seem to jump out to me? You were probably a very caring teacher. You had the ability to distill out all the junk from the class, put up a sign that said attitude, which is the most important thing about learning how to draw.
Yeah.
You had the ability to excite students and interest them to want to learn.
Well, one of the things that I did in driver education, you know, I required students of mine in driver education to make 100 on my final exam. I had 50 questions on my final exam. If you answered 49 right, you took it over. Because you missed one. Now, one of the things, and I tell students this, I do that for this simple reason, that one that you miss may be the difference between life and death. How you handle a particular situation, or how you don't handle it. I said, now, and I don't want you to come up and say, and use an excuse, that Mrs. Smith didn't teach me that. Because when you take my final exam and you pass it 100%, you can say very well, Mr. Smith taught me. I just didn't use the knowledge that I had. And as a result, I'm in this situation because of, and it's called a wreck, or called a life of some person to be killed. I said, and that person, believe it or not, you know who that person may be? Your father, your mother, your sister, your brother. Because what happened? Can you tell me where your parents are every time they go out and every time you go out driving? Can you tell me where they are? I say, you, first of all, you do most of your driving at night. And you can't see your parents coming down the road. Now, if you go out there and don't have the right attitude and drive reckless, that's the person you may run into.
You're telling me the same thing my physical diagnosis teacher told me, and that is,
I told him, I said, you drive this automobile like everybody else out there is crazy. I said, but if you watch people drive and you have the right attitude, you will think they're crazy the way they drive. So don't blame me for your lack of knowledge, because I'm going to give it to you. And you're going to pass my test. And I never taught driver education. I taught driver education 1 year on a straight shift automobile. I mean, on automatic. Because I don't believe in teaching driver education on automatics. You give a student a half of a driver education course. Because that's all they can drive. Now, if they learn to drive on a straight shift car, they can drive anything that rolls on the road. And the people in the State Department thought I was crazy. You mean to tell me you got somebody teaching driver education and won't teach nothing but on a straight shift? I said, that's right. Because what happened? We were dependent upon young people to drive school buses. And every school bus was straight shift. Now, who's going to teach them to drive school buses? If somebody is teaching driver education, doesn't teach them how to use that clutch and set that. I happen to have been that person. Making a difference. That's the whole philosophy.
R.D., thank you so much. It was a real pleasure.
Oh, you're quite welcome. We have to talk sometime.
Well, I feel like I really got to know you.
Well,
I appreciate that.
Well, I appreciate the opportunity to, as I said, maybe make a contribution to whatever you're trying to do, and in hopes that our interview will make a difference just in the way people see the whole integration process.
Well,
and the things that some of us are trying to do to make things better for everybody concerned. I've had good relationship with good relationship with every student I've ever taught, black or white, man or girl or boy, and I feel good about, you know. And if I didn't, I guess I wouldn't have taught for 38 years. I'd have found something else to do. But I had in my high school, I had some very, very caring teachers. And they, along with my college training, helped me to develop the type of philosophy of life that I felt I needed to go if I was going to be in any way helpful in the lives of young people. And I've chose Chapel Hill to put it in practice, which I have never regretted. I've met some outstanding students. I've met some outstanding parents, some very cooperative parents, very cooperative students over the years. And as a result of that, I think my wife and I being rewarded with the naming of the new middle school in our honor.
That's quite a nice reward for a wonderful 38 years. Let's end it there.
This is Bob Gilgore. I have sat in R.D. Smith's family room now for 4 hours and more over 2 days. I must say I am so impressed with what I have seen and what I have heard. His family room is bedecked with awards, honors, and pictures, as well as some mementos, a fishing rod given to him by a grateful student with his name engraved on it, and some paintings and so forth. A large array of black memorabilia, a tribute to the history of his black culture, which he collects assiduously, proud of his heritage and wanting to transmit this pride to everyone who comes around him. This is a man of at least 82 years of age who appears indefatigable to me. He keeps on talking with enthusiasm an energy about his mission in life to give to others, to be a good teacher, to make sure that he teaches with enthusiasm and that he motivates people to do the right thing, to learn, even just to learn one new fact a day, as he put it. He's not filled with hatred or retribution, but seems to want to treat everyone fairly and equally. His insight into history locally is most interesting. What impressed me, as well as his verve, his energy for teaching and listening to his students, was his interpretation of Lincoln High School as an institution equal in importance to that of the black churches. I was not familiar with that idea before, but his history recalling that the teachers lived with some of the black families, certainly they lived in the same neighborhood, they went to the same churches, they socialized with the families, they knew the families and the students. They made visits to the children's homes to get an idea of what life was like in the family setting of each student to better understand them. They taught not only academics, but they taught values, ethics. And so it's not surprising when these students who sought and fought for integration and equality went to a predominantly white school and lost their heritage and lost the mentoring and the interest that so many of the black teachers had for them, that they were distressed. They weren't treated the same anymore. I think that issue comes across loud and clear, and to me is at least as important. This loss of the Lincoln High School was at least as important, probably more important than any insensitivity that the white community might have had for these black students. Certainly, I don't think that the white community understood the black culture. They didn't understand the pride that the blacks had in their school. And I may be wrong. I think I will find out more about it as my interviews continue. But I thank you, R.D. Smith, for a wonderful interview.